Hello and welcome to Hacker Public Radio. My name is Ken Fallon. Today I'll be continuing this series on the LPI certification. Today we're going to be talking about hard drives. The most common hard drive found in a PC today is the Integrated Drive Electronics or IDE hard drive. They're also known as ATA drives. Other drives in use commonly on servers are SCSI drives, and recently most drives being shipped with PCs are now serial ATA. So the original IDE or ATA drives are now retrofitted with the name of parallel ATA drives. And you can tell the difference. The parallel has a big ribbon cable, whereas the serial ATA has a smaller data cable. As far as the LPI certification goes, what you probably need to know is the limits that are imposed due to the original BIOS limitations when dealing with hard disks. You're also going to need to know some stuff on the tools to look at and tune a hard disk. And you're probably also going to need to know about the Linux disk naming conventions. So that's more or less what we're going to cover today. Now, first of all, some background on what a hard disk is and how it works. A hard disk is actually composed of platters made of either aluminium or glass, coated in a magnetic material, and the platters or disks are arranged one on top of each other on a spindle. The whole thing is enclosed in an enclosure, and there's a hard disk controller attached to the underside of the disk. The read-write head is mounted on an arm which moves from the outside edge of the disk to the center. That allows it to access any area on the disk. The disks themselves can spin at very high speeds, often reaching 170 miles per hour, in around 270 kilometers per hour. Data is stored on the surface of a platter in sectors and tracks. The tracks are concentric circles, and the sectors are pie-shaped wedges on a track. The term cylinder is used to describe the same track on all the platters as they're stacked one on top of the other. So if you have track one on the first platter, you're also talking about track one on the second, track one on the third, track one on the fourth. As you go up, it creates a sort of cylinder. When the original hard disks came out, the way you would locate a piece of information on the hard disk was by giving it a reference based on cylinders, heads, and sectors or tracks. So if something was at position 1, cylinder 1, on head 5, and on track 12, you would be able to locate information. Another method for locating data on the disk is called the logical block address, or the LBA address. And rather than using geometry like CHS does, it simply used number structure to name the sectors regardless of their physical construction. Okay, now, what has all of this got to do with the exam? The important part is that every hard disk is presented to the BIOS through its geometry, which tells the BIOS how many cylinders, heads, tracks that the disk uses. This is using the CHS method. For Windows, the bootloader is always located at the master boot record. However, for Linux, the bootloader, Lido or Grub, can either be at the master boot record or at the root partition. And if it's at the root partition, then you have to be aware of certain limits that are imposed by this CHS methodology employed by the BIOS. And the most important limit that you need to know about is the 1024 cylinder limit. Now, where this comes about is the IDE ATA specification had specification for the number of cylinders, heads, and sectors. And then you had BIOSes. The BIOS INT 13H standard had also specifications for the number of cylinders, heads, and sectors. Problem is that they didn't talk to each other, and we ended up with having to take the smallest combination of each. So although the IDE specification supports 16 cylinders maximum, the BIOS only supports 10. And while the BIOS supports 8 heads, the IDE specification only supports 4, and the IDE specification supports 8 sectors max, but the BIOS only supports 6. So what you end up is having a maximum of 10 cylinders, which corresponds to 1024 cylinders, 10 bits for a cylinder number, and that corresponds to 1024 maximum cylinders, and then the maximum of 16 heads with 63 sectors. That gives a total maximum of 504 megabytes. So if you're making a boot partition, you should always make it less than 500 megabytes. A lot of people will say that anything more than 50 megabytes is a waste of time. Okay, there's been various different ways to get around this problem by doing translations and all the rest of it, but the generally most modern hard disk supports LBA. Now the LBA just starts at 0 for the first sector and works its way up. However, there is a limit of 137 gigabytes imposed by the old ATA standard that only used 28 bits for addressing. That's more or less gone away now, and to the use of 32-bit sector numbers, and that increases the limit to 2 terabytes. Use some workarounds and mapping, they have been able to make the CHS method work up to a limit of 8.4 gigabytes, but after that you're just supposed to use LBA. So when you're querying any hard drive over 8.4 gigabytes, they will always report the geometry as 16383 cylinders, 16 heads, and 63 tracks, regardless of what their actual geometry is. And you should look in the LBA field for the actual number of sectors. And that's exactly what we're going to do right now. But first, before we hit that, I want to talk a little bit about the hard drive naming convention under Linux. First of all, you'll be able to see the devices under a special directory called the DEV file system. This is where all devices are kept. And like the PROC file system, which we talked about before, it's a pseudo file system, meaning that it doesn't actually exist in the conventional sense. Following again the Linux, everything is a file philosophy. Now in there, the naming convention has typically been for IDE hard disks that they begin with /dev/HD something, and that for SCSI disks they would go in /dev/SD something. Now SCSI disks are also considered to be serial ATA disks, so if you want to see what devices are attached to your computer, you want to check for both HD and SD drives. Okay, so jump out to a console and type the following command: ls /dev/HD and an asterisk, and for me that returned no such file or directory. And what that does is it asks for a listing of all the files beginning with HD in the dev directory. Now I'm going to do the same thing for SD files, and I am returned with a list: SDA, SDA1, SDA2 and SDA5. And that means that I have one serial ATA disk attached to my computer. And the reason I know it's one is that the third letter of that, ls/dev/SD* returned SDA, and there was no SDB. So that means I just have one disk attached to my computer. And that's correct, I do. For SCSI disks, they're assigned letters. The first disk is A, the second disk is B, the third disk is C, and continues on. So you have SDA, SDB, SDC. For IDE hard disks, it works in a particular order. So the master on the first IDE interface would be HDA. The slave on the first IDE channel would be HDB. The master on the second IDE channel will be HDC, and the slave on the second IDE channel will be HDD. Okay, that's the naming system for the disks themselves. However, each disk can have partitions, and on an IDE drive you can have up to 4 partitions, and an unlimited number of logical partitions. Those partitions are denoted by a number after the first three letters designating the disk. So on my example from my computer, we had a SDA1, an SDA2, and then an SDA5. And now that physically mounts is one big root partition, which is SDA1, and then there's a swap partition, which is actually an extended partition, and that's SDA5. And because extended partitions need to be housed somewhere, it's housed under SDA2. That's probably a little bit complex for now, but it'll come in time. Now, looking at my file server downstairs, when I do ls space /dev/hd*, I get a HDA, HDC, HDC1, HDC2, HDC3, a HDE, and a HDE1, and a HDG. And I happen to know that the HDA and the HDG are CD-ROMs. The HDC and the HDE are... Well, the HDE1 is part of an LVM volume, which we'll talk about later, and the HDC contains the root partition. I also have SCSI disks on that, and SDA1 is part of an LVM, SDF and SDF1 are part of an LVM, as is SDG. Well, actually, SDG1. And just as a side note, an LVM is Logical Volume Manager, and it's a way to take multiple disks, physical disks, and put them together as a logical volume, making the addition and expansion of your partitions as they're shown to Linux a lot easier. But that's not something for the exam just right at the moment. Okay, a good command to find out information about your hard disk is called the hdpram command, and that's actually spelled hdpram, get/set hard disk parameters. And for now, we're only going to be getting hard disk. I don't want anyone messing about with their hard disk parameters unless you know what you're doing. And I'll give you the description from the man page, which I got by typing man space hdpram. HDPARM provides a command line interface to various hard disk I/O controls supported by Linux Serial ATA, Parallel ATA, and SAS subsystems, and older IDE driver subsystems. Some options may not work correctly with the latest kernel. And the most important command out of that is going to be the minus capital I, which requests identification info directly from the drive, which is displayed in the new expanded format, which with considerably more detail than the older minus lowercase I flag. Now, if I mosey over here to my server and I do sudo hdparam minus capital I /dev/hda, I get loads of information back on my CD-ROM drive. The model number is NEC DVD read writer. It's got the firmware. It's standards used ATAPI-1. It's DRQ. It's blah de blah de blah. That's all very interesting. Now, if I do an ls of the /dev with SD drives and I look at one of the serial ATA drives, I'll do hdparam space minus capital I space /dev/sda, I get a lot more information about the drive. It's a Mac store something or other. It's got a serial number, firmware, what standards it supports. And here we are, the max and current cylinders, heads and sectors are down as 16383, heads is 16 and the sectors are 63, which we found out earlier in this podcast that it was, in fact, dummy information. The real information that we're looking for is the LBA usable addressable sectors, which is 240.1.2.1.7.2.8, which is 122 gigabytes. So you can happily play with that command and see what information is available on your system. One good way to find out what hard disks are attached to your computer is using the output from the system log as it boots up. And that command, well, I think we've talked about it before, is called, and from the description in the man page, dmessage is used to examine or control kernel ring buffer. The program helps user to print out their boot up messages. Instead of copying messages by hand, the user needs only to dmessage boot messages. However, so if we go to the command line on my server again and I type dmessage space the pipe command, which is usually above the keyboard, the enter key, and I type grep space sd, I get a whole list of SD devices that were on my computer, and in there I will see that I have the SCSI CD-ROM drive that I had coming up and the other additional disks. And if I do the same thing, dmessage, and I pipe that to grep and I do HD, then I see all the different ID devices that have come up. So I see a Mac Store, ATA disk, what else? The CD-ROM drive comes up here as a HD device. So that's pretty much it for this episode of Hacker Public Radio. I want to thank you all for listening. If you yourself come across something cool or interesting, consider sitting down for 5 minutes, doing a podcast about it, and send it in. I know that we could do some extra filler episodes. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Thank you for listening to Hacker Public Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.